Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is Apostle Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministry, and this is our study of the Word on tonight. Hallelujah. I want to call our Bible class to order now. I'm going to have our devotion. I'm going to sing a song, read a scripture, and pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Shine on me. Shine on me. I wonder if the lighthouse will shine on me. Shine on me. Glory, shine on me. I wonder if the lighthouse will shine on me. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 119, verses starting at the 57th verse, hallelujah. Thou art my portion, O Lord, and I have said that I would keep thy word. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. I have just read you from Psalms 119, from the 57th verse down to the 64th verse. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Father, we come tonight humbly before your throne of grace, Father, asking you now, to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I come tonight asking you if we've offended anyone in any kind of way, Lord. Please forgive us now in the name of Jesus. Search our hearts, our minds, and our spirits if there is anything in the Lord that should not be. I ask you to send the fire of God now, Lord, to burn it out in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord, remove it right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you this evening, Father, to create in us a clean heart, Lord, renewing us a right spirit and a sound mind on tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we come asking you tonight to bind a strong man, Father. Bind a strong man, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And every seed, everything, Lord, every evil thing, every demon, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that try to connect itself to this radio broadcast, to each one of us, I'm asking you to bind it right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we give it to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we plead the blood of Jesus over them right now, Lord, over us, Lord. Police this radio broadcast in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you now to bless everyone, Lord, that's under the sound of my voice, the ones, the entire men and women of war, Apostle Edward Deans, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you tonight, Lord, Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, bless it, Lord. Bless right now, Lord. Bless right now, Lord. Bless right now, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, I give you praise tonight, and I give you glory. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, Lord. I ask you tonight to let me decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase, Lord, and teach your people, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, he uses me. Use me, Lord. I'm just a vessel, an empty vessel, waiting to be filled, and waiting to be used by you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I thank you now, and I give you all the praise on tonight. I give you all the glory on tonight. I ask all these things, in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, and thank God. Amen, amen. I just thank and praise God for all of you that's on the radio broadcast and you out in radio land. I just thank and praise God for you right now in the name of Jesus. And we're going to continue. In our prayer tonight, we are talking about the three types of prayers. And I don't know how far I got, but I think I completed it all on the devotion of prayer. And now we're going to start with intercession. Intercession is when you pray really for other people. That's what intercession is. But although prayer is petitioning God, although it is also seeking him in deep fellowship and communion, it is also interceding before him in the Holy Spirit. So the prayer of intercession is the third level of prayer in which we share the burden of Christ for a person, circumstances, or needs anywhere in the world. Intercession is the level of prayer where we may become a partaker of Christ's suffering. When I pray in the Holy Spirit, I know that some of my prayers are for people and circumstances in other parts of the world. I may not know the exact need, but the Holy Spirit does. And he uses me to pray through until I know that God has met that need. God used this faithful people of intercessional prayer to cause the Holy Spirit to brood and hover over areas. Now, this point is so important that I must elaborate on it further. When a child is convicted, the woman's egg and the man's sperm have an intricate code, which is the actual blueprint of the future as determined within the genetic code. As the Holy Spirit brings forth life, so also must much of the dynamics of life is determined by the will of God, implemented by the Holy Spirit, or implicated. Simeon is a perfect example of qualities an intercessor should possess. These are qualities that an intercessor should possess. He was devout. A person who enters the ministry of intercession should be given to prayer. He was patient. The scripture says that Simeon waited for the constellation of Israel. While most people were looking for political solutions, Simeon knew that Israel's solution was spiritual. Therefore, he could wait many years before seeing the results of his prayers. He was full of the Holy Spirit. Only a man who has the Holy Spirit upon him can carry the weight of intercessional prayer. He trusted. It had been revealed to Simeon that he would see the results of his prayer before death. Therefore, he went faithfully to the temple daily for many years until the day came when Christ was brought to the temple. He was a man of vision. Simeon's prophecy over Christ's child brought marvel to Joseph and Mary. Therefore, he saw more about Christ than his natural mother and stepfather. Both Christ's birth, the Holy Spirit had raised up two faithful intercessors. Two. They spent many years fasting and praying for the coming of Messiah. God caused them to live long enough to see what they had prayed for. Therefore, their ministry of intercessional prayer has forever been recorded in scriptures. Intercessional prayer is necessary in the fulfillment of God's divine will. This does not mean that God is incapable of bringing his will to pass, but he has chosen to include us in the realization of his will. Therefore, those who enter a ministry of intercession actually become a part of the fulfillment of God's plans and purpose. So we just talked about the qualities of an intercessor. He should be a devout person, a person that's given to prayer. He should be patient and wait and see what God is doing. He should be full of the Holy Spirit so that he can carry out the weight of the intercessory prayer, because when you start praying for people, it weighs on you. It's a burden. It's, you know, it's not bad, you know, but when it's just like when you getting ready to fight. When I was little, they used to put that stick on your shoulder and tell you to knock it off. If you dare to knock it off, that was a fight. It was like when you start praying for a person, you take on those demons they fighting. And when you pray for them, so an intercessor prays for so many people, they always in a fight because they praying for different ones that's fighting and battling. So then you must trust God. You have to trust God and believe what he say, because God is, let God be true and every man a liar. So, and you have to have, you must, and you should have a vision. You should be a person with a vision, because you need to know what God is saying so you can share it with the people, excuse me. And, okay, so we're going to go on from there. Why intercession is necessary? Before we understand the necessity of intercession, we must see what we as followers of Christ are in this earth. We must see. We are the salt of the earth. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Salt gives flavor to what it comes in contact with. Job said, can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Job 6:6. The church is to function on this earth as salt. The church flavors stuff. The church flavors it. Our presence on earth causes God to destroy the sinful earth as he did Sodom and Gomorrah. God places on us the responsibility for withholding final judgment, giving man the time to either accept or reject Jesus Christ as Savior. He gives them time. This is some of the reason why intercession is a necessity, is necessary. We are ambassadors for Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:20. We therefore have been set in an official capacity by our natural government, the kingdom of God, to represent its interests on foreign soil. The normal practice of government at war is to the first withdraw their they take out their ambassador. That's what we are. Therefore, our remaining on this earth means that God is still forbearing this world sin and there is still time to preach the gospel. There's still room at the cross. Salt. We're talking about salt now. Salt also restrains the process of corruption. Before the days of refrigeration, travelers had to go. They had to cover their meat with salt. And I can remember good when my mom and daddy would buy a cow or a pig or a hog, and they would hang it up or have it hung in somebody's smokehouse, and they would put salt to keep it. Salt will keep it from spoiling. And they would it would hang out there for some days. It would not spoil because of the salt that they put on it. So salt is a keeping power. It gives flavor, and it's like savory for meat and stuff that is on. It restrains the process of corruption, so it stopped that from going bad. It stopped the meat from going bad. The spirit of Antichrist has been at work since the first century. John wrote, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. You have overcome them because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:3-4. The spirit of Antichrist, which is the spirit of lawlessness, has been at work with increasing influences in the world. Eventually, the spirit will produce the actual Antichrist. The Holy Spirit, through the church, is holding back these anti-God forces until this positive force is removed. As we mature as Christians, we realize that being a Christian not only brings privilege, but it also brings responsibility. As the main barrier to Satan's influences in this world, we must see the importance of intercessional prayer. If we don't catch the vision of our role as the salt of this earth, and lazy allows evil to gain control of the natural circumstance which prevail in our respective countries, then the salt would lose its savor. At that time, Jesus said, it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. We have also been called by God as a kingdom of priests, as a kingly priesthood. We have been given authority as well. The job of the Old Testament priest was to intercede for his people before the mercy seat of God. So also in our prayers of intercession, we must function in our role as New Testament priests, standing in the gap for the needs of God's people. And that's what we have to do in a prophetic intercession as well. But intercession, you must, and I do it so often, you have to pray for the people of God. Pray for them. Then I turn around and pray for those folks that's lost so God can cause them to come running asking what I must do to be saved. I pray for them too because they need prayer too. I want God to get as many souls as possible. As many souls as possible. That's what I want God to do. God has determined his will, his children into co-ruler with Christ Jesus. He does not rule over us, not giving us any responsibility, but he has delegated his authority to us to assist in his dominion over the earth and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 1 and 22-23. In Ephesians 2, Paul amplify our role as rulers and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In our size of spiritual authority, we are the recipient of both our natural knowledge and wisdom, which have been quickened by the Holy Spirit. We also have spiritual knowledge, which far surpasses our natural knowledge. This knowledge is given to us by the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 7 through 10. And that's what we have to realize when we start praying and we get in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, it takes over you. I experienced that when I was praying. I guess that was Friday, yeah, at our Friday night prayer meeting. And it's some stuff I said where the Holy Spirit was saying that I don't remember. I recall some of it. Don't get me wrong, because I was praying. But I guess I was in and out, especially when I'm tired, because Friday I had worked 12 hours and I was tired. So I knew that the Holy Spirit was going to take over, because when I'm tired, when I tell you when I'm tired, he just takes over. And I'll yield to him, because I want you all to get the word and the prayer that you all need. So I yield to the Holy Spirit and let him use me, because a lot of times when I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, and when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you don't know what you're saying. God will give me interpretation, and some of you may interpret. You may interpret. But you have to know that when you're praying in tongues, you are praying for somebody. Every time I start praying in tongues, he'll put somebody on my heart. I know who I'm praying for. I know almost what I'm praying for because he'll put them on my heart. I'll be saying, why am I thinking about other things when I should be praying? But the Lord had to get my attention saying, this is not your business. You just, because everything, when I'm praying in tongues, especially like when I get up early in the morning like I've been doing, and I be praying, I notice that the Lord put somebody on my heart, or he'll put something going on my heart, And I'm saying, why am I thinking about this? But then I just be quiet because I know what he's taught me. When I'm praying in tongues, it's for somebody. It is especially when you speak, and sometimes you be speaking in another language, you be praying in another language, and you praying for somebody from that language. I used to pray in Japanese, Chinese. I knew it. I knew a lot of that stuff, what I was praying. And God gives me interpretation of tongues, too. So, and I thank and praise God for that. But we have, when you praying for somebody, you have to yield your body, your mind, and your soul, your spirit. You have to yield to the Holy Spirit. Don't even, you know, just kind of let loose. And the Holy Spirit would pick it up. He would take it up. I remember when I got baptized with my daughters when I was young, and they were very young, and we got baptized on an Easter Sunday morning, and the water was so cold in there. But you, because I don't think it was really, really hot outside. It was warm, but it wasn't real hot. And so the girls went first, and Mimi had a fit. But she went on. She said she was never doing that no more. But they went on and got baptized. But when I went in the water, I asked Jesus, I said, please go down with me. And when the pastor took me down in that water and brought me back up, when he took me down, I didn't remember nothing else. Nothing else after that. I don't know who put my clothes on or nothing. Because, you know, when you, and I know I had panties and underclothes and stuff on, but I don't know what happened, how I got my clothes back on. When I came back to myself, I was sitting at a table in a chair and Kathy's mother was sitting at the other table staring at me. I don't know what I did. I don't know what I said. All I know is I was gone. From the time I hit that water and I said, go down with me, Heavenly Father, and that was it. I don't know nothing else. And that's when I know the Holy Spirit took over me. And that's how I know that I belong to God. I tell everybody, I belong to him, body, mind, soul, and spirit. I belong to God. This temple is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. I'm telling you, I belong to God. He has saved me so many times from death. I could have been dead when I had the massive heart attack. When I had all these things that's happened to me, I could go on and on. But what we need to know about yielding to the Holy Spirit, because he is a gentleman. He is not going to force himself on you. But if you yield to him, he will take over. He would show you something. You won't even know you're doing it, because even when I get up in the mornings to pray, it feel like so many times, it's just a feeling, I'm telling you. And then I'm praying for people and different ones, even my enemies I pray for, even different people that have hurt me. I still love them and pray for them, because you know what? God is in control, and he has the last say-so about everything. So I try my best to do what his words say do. Okay, let's go back. I'm trying to see where I left off. Okay. The most quoted Old Testament passage in the New Testament is Psalms 110. To better understand how our authority can be used in intercessory prayer, it is important for us to study this Psalms carefully. Psalms 110. I got to look at it too. From the New King James Version of the Bible, it says, The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people, this is verse 3, your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power, in the beauty of holiness. From the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the place with dead bodies. He shall execute the head of many countries. He shall drink the brook by the wayside. Therefore, he shall lift up the head. In this important psalm, Christ is pictured as both the supreme ruler of the earth and a high priest according to the spiritual order of Melchizedek. Hebrews implies Christ's role as a spiritual priest, seeing he ever lived to make intercession. That's in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Christ's rulership is unique in that he rules in the middle of his enemies. David, as king in the middle of his enemies, had a physical throne. So Christ is in complete control without the obvious possession of the physical throne of power in this earth. The rod, which is in the scripture, is the sign of authority, comes out of Zion, the name used for God's people. Therefore, the way that the world experiences the dominion of Christ on this present world is through the exercising of the church's authority, particularly in intercession. See, a lot of times the enemy is always around. You still have to pray. You still have to study. You still have to rule. You still have authority, whether he's around or not. You still have power. You still have these things you have to do in the midst of your enemies. You still got to do what God called you to do. You still got to go on. God gives us the authority and the ability to do what he's called us to do. Now that we're understanding, now we have understanding of our spiritual place on this earth as salt, kingly priest, and sharers in Christ's throne, we are able to see how intercession works and why it is necessary. As we saw in Daniel's prayer, Satan opposes the will of God, not only as it relates to the church, but as it relates to the entire world. Even being given authority over this age, Satan is called the god of this age. All of his might is directed against God's people, who we have seen are called to exercise God's Christ. No, who are called to exercise God's Christ's authority, knowing that the church is the main obstacle to his purpose on earth. Satan is out to devour us as a roaring lion. Yet the gospel of Christ must be preached, and nations must be brought to the knowledge of God. These are two conflicting interests. As we have learned through history, wars are fought because of conflicting interests among nations. In intercession, the Christian or the believers enter into the priestly function of providing an earthly base for God's heavenly interest. This age has become the battleground between two opposing forces, but God has a group in foreign land that is able to bring the influences of the age to come into this age, for the age to come into this age. Therefore, this natural world can be brought under the obvious control of the kingdom of God. Moses lifts up his hand as Israel warred with or against her enemies. Yet when Moses allowed his hands to fall, Israel suffered. This is a clear symbol of intercession at work. And that's why you have to keep going with it. You know, you can't stop. You have two opposing forces, and you have to go with the right one. The cost of intercession. Before we can understand the cost of intercession of prayer, we must understand Christ's present suffering. When Saul was on the road to Damascus, which is Paul, he suddenly saw a blinding light. While his companion heard thunder, Saul heard a clear voice from heaven, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And that's another thing. Just like Paul, when God was talking, Jesus was talking to Paul on the road to Damascus, and other people was around, they are not going to hear what you hear when God is talking to you. God can talk to you because I'm telling you, I know he'd be talking to me. He can talk to you right in the middle of 50,000 people. They won't hear it, but you will. He heard him say, "Saul, Saul, why thou persecutest thou me?" And the other his companions heard a thunder, and that was it. So, you know, we have to be really paying attention to what's going on. We really do, because God speaks and he does things in mysterious ways. Let me see. Let me see. He said, "Paul, Paul, why is thou persecuted?" I mean, Paul's response was, "Who art thou, Lord?" Christ answered and said, "I am Jesus, who have persecuted." Saul later called the apostle, he's called the apostle Paul, never thought he was persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ. He was only persecuting the church, but, you know, Paul, he's an apostle. But just to go to show you how things are done, Paul, before God called him, he would go to churches and persecute them. And if they had any members, they would take them. He would take them and get them burned and tortured and all that kind of stuff before God stopped him on the road to Damascus. He had burned and persecuted and tortured so many people that the other apostles didn't want to accept him. But God caused them to accept Paul, and Paul was a great apostle. He was a great apostle, but before God called him, he was persecuting the church. He was hanging people, burning people, torturing people, doing everything. But you see how much God forgave us 77 times, 77 times, 77 times, 77 times a day. That's what he said. So he forgave Paul. And that's what we must do, forgive our enemies. So we are the body of Christ. Whatever we as his members feel, he as the head of the body feels. Pain and suffering are never felt on the surface of our wound, but actual pain is felt in the brain, located in the head. The brain is able to project the pain to the part of the body that is being hurt, so that the part can make a proper adjustment. So it is with the body of Christ. What we feel, he feels. What we suffer, he suffers. Yet as the head, his suffering is more intense. When we have pain in our tooth, the brain tells us. When we have pain in our foot, the pain tells the brain, and the brain put it to the foot. We are uniquely made, fearfully and wonderfully made, and God made us not by man's hand, but by God's hand. Mm-hmm. It is true that those who have the particular potential to hurt us most are those closest to us. Unfortunately, some believers go back to the world having rejected the precious Lord who saved them. In Hebrews it says, "Sin, they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." Hebrews 6:6. Therefore, Christ suffers the pain, suffered at the cross. Each time a believer turns back into the world, anytime you backslide and go back into the world, it's like Christ suffering that death all over again to the backslider. Mm-hmm. And intercessory prayer or intercessional prayer, the believer shares the suffering of Christ over a particular need in his body. Paul says that, "I know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering." Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. In this scripture, Paul shows that he was not only willing to enjoy the resurrection power of Christ, but he was willing to fellowship with Christ in his suffering. In our churches, we have committed ourselves to enter a ministry of intercession. We have learned petition and prayer, so we are seeing our needs met. We are committed to devotional prayer, so we are enjoying fellowship with our precious Lord. Yet, we are more than ever committed to the prayer of intercession. Therefore, we are seeing revival in our country, and we'll see it in the whole world. No other place on earth has 3,000 to 10,000 people fasting and praying continuously. We are serious about the battle God has commanded us to fight. We are serious about the spiritual weapons that will ensure our victory. We are conscious of the battlefield, the hearts of men throughout the world, and we are convinced of the final victory we can share with the King of Glory. What door do we enter in prayer of intercession? Besides its common use as an entrance to a house or a building, a door is used metaphorically as the entrance into any spiritual experience or the entrance to opportunity. Jesus said, "I am the door." Christ is the means by which man can reach the Father. The only way to get to the Father is through Christ. Paul used the words as an entrance to opportunity. Paul says, "Furthermore, when I come to Taurus to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit." John, when writing to the church of Philadelphia, shares this revelation from Christ. "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. Not only is a door a place of opportunity to preach the gospel of Christ to a community, it is also an opportunity for an individual, as the Lord confirmed. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. There are doors to nations and ethnic groups that can be opened. Once the doors open, they are able to receive faith and believe. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. That's Acts chapter 14, verse 27. Going through a door of opportunity means that we can face spiritual opposition, from the principalities and powers that keep nations from hearing and responding to the gospel. For a great door and an effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries, many. 2 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can open a door that have been shut to the gospel. Furthermore, when I came to Taurus to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. How do we get the doors of faith and opportunity open? We have seen that Christ must open the door. However, God has made us members of his body. That means that the head has chosen to function through his body on earth. So it takes prayer of intercession to stand against the spiritual forces, keeping the door shut. Once the prayers break through, Christ can open the door and an entire city, nation, or race can be saved. Paul confirms this with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bond, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Not only does Christ desire to open doors of opportunity for his people, so they may preach the gospel, but doors of revelation and understanding must also be open, because you can't do anything unless you have this understanding. The Lord said, all things, get an understanding, and you need new revelation. You really have to understand it in the vision. So God has given us revelation, understanding, and opening doors. And he wants us to have a vision. So Jesus continually repeats the phrase, he that has an ear, let him hear. This statement made to the churches of Revelation in chapter 2 and 3 indicates that we often don't understand what we are hearing. But that's why when I'm teaching, I'm asking, do you understand? Do you have any questions? Do you know? The door of understanding must be open for our minds to comprehend what God desires to reveal to us. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit. See, God will show us open doors, and God opened doors no man can shut. And he shut doors no man can open. So, you know, he knows what we need better than we do. So we let God and we yield to God open the doors he want to open and shut some doors he want to shut, because he shut a lot of them in my life. He moved a lot of things around in my life. He shifts some stuff in the atmosphere, and he's still shifting stuff in the realm of the spirit. So I thank and praise God for all that he's done in my life as of today. It says in Acts, we see how God can open a door of opportunity and keep the door open so we may preach the gospel without spiritual hindrances. Paul had been accused and had been brought to Rome, a city which was at the time the center of sin, Rome. Paul prayed and asked others to intercede for him. Finally, the door to Rome was open, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31. So the book of Acts ends. It is important that the Holy Spirit closes the book of Acts with a door open. Of course, most of us know that Acts ends without the proper grammatical ending. We can excerpt from the grammatical flaws, Luke being a doctor, had an excellent command of Greek, that the book of Acts is still being written as the church still is performing the acts of the Holy Spirit. Although we know that Paul was finally executed, he was executed on down in the years. He stayed in prison and wrote in prison. He was executed. The official history of the early churches, on a positive note, no man can forbid the preaching of the gospel once God opened the door of spiritual opportunities. God can even block the opposition that comes from our own brothers and sisters in Christ. It is an unfortunate fact that so much of our energy is wasted because of the lack of unity in the church. Instead of fighting our real enemies, the devil, so many of God's people fight each other. However, an open spiritual door can also block the opposition that comes from within. Paul also experienced this in Acts 28, as they said unto him, "We neither receive letters out of Judah, the center of Paul's opposition, concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. Therefore, it is obvious that what is needed throughout the whole world is for believers to understand and enter into the third level of prayer, intercession. Knock, and the door shall be opened. Ask, and I stated before, we cannot be too distinctive in our dividing the three types of prayer. One can petition, commune, and intercede in the same prayer time. It is hard to intercede without communion with Christ. Our petition would be more effective by communion. Our intercession includes petition, fellowship, communion. However, by understanding the three types of prayers, we can pray more effectively. As Christians, we approach prayer as the means by which we can receive from God. In time, we begin to mature and desire more. The newness of our experience is no longer as strong, so we may think we're slipping. What is actually happening is that we are being weaned spiritually from our infant formula and being prepared for duck food. Then we must enter into spiritual communion and fellowship with Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit. Once we have begun our personal relationship with Christ, we begin to feel what he feels. We can no longer allow things to continue as they are, and we volunteer in the army of prayer. David prophesied, "Your people shall be volunteers in the days of your power." Why are we experiencing continuous revival in here? We have a volunteer to pray until the gospel is preached in the whole world. The doors will be open as the spiritual forces are bound in the name of Jesus. So I'm going to get ready to close out now, but On Monday, we're going to talk about the forms of prayers, F-O-R-M-S, of prayers. That's where we're going to start at, the forms of prayers. But it's just been a blessing that we've talked about the three types of prayer, the petition, the intercession, and the petition, the devotion, and the intercession. So, you know, that's basic prayer, but this is not the prophetic intercession. And once I finish with this form of prayer, we're going to go off into the prophetic intercession of prayer, but it'll be in another couple of weeks before we do that. But I just want to remind everybody about our prayer meeting tomorrow night at the same time and on our radio broadcast. And you out in radio land, you're invited to bring your prayer requests, tell your friends and whoever you know that need prayer, have them to call in on this number, 323-642-1493. That's 323-642-9493. And we will surely pray, and the Lord will do what he does best. He's in control. So we want to invite all of you to come out and join us on tomorrow night at the very same time. So we're going to get ready to pray and dismiss. Father, we just thank you now, Lord. We give you all the praise and glory on tonight and magnify your name. Father, we thank you for binding a strong man up and every demon, Lord, every witch, every warlock, every evil thing, wicked thing that's not like you, Lord. You bind it up in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it on tonight. We ask you to cover the end time men and women of war and everyone that's under the sound of my voice in the shed blood of Jesus and their families. Keep them covered in the blood, in Yeshua HaMashiach's blood, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you for opening up our minds and in our thoughts, Lord, so that we can receive what you've just given us, Lord. Thank you for opening doors, Lord, for us, huh? In the gospel, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and even in other ways, opening doors, Lord, we thank you for it right now. Father, we give you all the praise and the glory, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of and now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. You all have a blessed rest of the night, and we'll be right back here tomorrow evening for our prayer meeting in the name of Jesus. Have a good night. I love you all. Call me if you need to. God bless you. Good night.